Welcome to the Mind Games podcast. Today, we are joined by Sam Norris, an ex-rugby player who has now transitioned into a successful corporate career and has founded the Mindset Playbook. Prepare to be motivated. Sammy Norris, thanks for jumping on, mate. I really appreciate this.
Good to be here, mate. I'm excited.
Happy days. Mate, firstly, I guess, yeah, super grateful you've sort of taken time out of your weekend and different things to make the trip out here and jump aboard and support me. So, appreciate this. Excited to talk all things goal setting, all things motivation and different things. So I definitely need some help in those areas. So, mate, keen to discuss.
Awesome, mate. No, sounds good.
I guess, first of all, what I kind of try and do with the episodes is give the listeners a little bit of an idea of how we sort of know each other. So both of our beautiful partners are best friends. So we've been lucky enough to meet through that. And I guess through the, you know, mutual connections is always cool. And I guess when you meet like-minded people, you're a bit more ambitious than me, but people who you're a little bit like-minded, I guess you kind of connect and mate, grateful to have met you in that regard as well.
Definitely, mate. I think it's, whenever our partners catch up, we can talk anything and everything sport. So it's
absolutely, it's nothing connection. Better. Nothing better. Mate, what I'll probably start with, let's take it right back and let's, I guess, discuss your story. Because to be fair, I actually was trying to do a bit of research and obviously we've known each other for a few years now, but I even don't know most of this stuff. So, mate, keen to, dig a little bit deeper and just understand, I guess, what makes Sammy Norris tick. So, mate, grew up in New Zealand. We're about 3 hours south of Auckland.
Yeah, so a place called Tauranga. Okay. So yeah, sort of near Mount Maunganui. So sort of small coastal town, beautiful place kind of thing. Mount Maunganui is probably like Manly in Sydney without Sydney.
How good?
So like tourist spot, everything. A lot of fishing, diving and stuff.
Did you do a fair bit of that growing up?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that was kind of our life as such, as you're outside doing something. It was either playing footy or in the ocean.
Yeah, or both.
Yeah, pretty much through. Mate, so yeah, pretty much grew up there. Like any Kiwi, footy was religion.
Love it.
Just me and my brother and parents.
Yeah, cool. So with that, the little bit I do know about like Kiwi culture, I suppose, is community, local school, local sport, all that's a massive part of you growing up. Can you give us like an idea of how that's kind of shaped your, I guess, mindset that you work with now and the discipline you have in life?
100%. And I think, well, I guess through high school and things like that, like we'd train 3 mornings. So like at school at 6 o'clock for volleyball. So kind of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then you'd play 2 nights a week. And then the other nights was footy. And it was kind of footy at nighttime, footy on the weekend, footy at lunch at school. It was always pretty active. It was, pretty driven. So kind of, I guess that's built in you kind of thing with a lot of training and commitment on days you don't want. So sort of from a young age, I probably started when we were about three or four doing sort of sport, and then it kind of just progressed through. So I guess, it's kind of drilled in you the enjoyment of it. And now I guess training and discipline and stuff like that is just second nature, I guess. To a lot of, not just me, but a lot of Kiwi culture.
Yeah, okay, cool. So that's obviously, I guess, growing up with school sport and different things, but in terms of the community in New Zealand, so around where you grew up, like I'm guessing that's a big part of it as well.
100%. And it's probably like a smaller town stuff as well.
Yeah, agree.
It's everyone kind of semi knows each other. It's very competitive, like, and things like that, but everyone gets around each other. It's, you kind of feed off it, yep, to be fair. Everyone plays every sport or does everything. You see everyone on the same beach, but you're sort of passionate about everything. So I guess it's a pretty small town vibe, but everyone kind of picks each other up, which is a little different to what I found in Sydney. But you kind of live and learn different things. But yeah, that's probably one of the biggest things that you get growing up in NZ.
You mentioned playing volleyball. I know the biggest sport in your life definitely was rugby. You mentioned that as well. Can you talk us through a bit of a star here? A dual sport star.
Oh, I wouldn't say star, but we played a little bit. Yeah, it was kind of, our school was pretty good at volleyball. A few guys sort of kicked on and, yeah, just pretty much went to the Comm Games and things for beach volleyball and a few things like that. I was pretty short.
Were you playing indoor or outdoor? Yeah.
Played both, but I was always too short for outdoor. Gave it a crack, but yeah, played indoor. We're fortunate our school was pretty heavily in volleyball. We kind of, yeah, I can't remember how many national champs and things like that. Fortunate, kind of made a few representative sides sort of growing up.
In both sports? Or
yeah, yeah, sort of both going through. And then like anything, you probably make an age where you have to decide which way you go. And
yeah, what age was that?
For me, it was probably 16, probably about 16.
Okay, so you're like representing the junior Kiwis and different things at both, or how does it work?
Probably more, so I sort of made the, yeah, representative side for, I think it was under 17s, under 19s, sort of for volleyball. Yeah. And then was sort of, yeah, pursuing age group stuff for footy, and mm-hmm. then you kind of had to decide, and yeah, I went footy route. Looking back, I did that and then had a pretty bad break in my leg 2 weeks later and had a year off. So,
fire. What position are you playing?
Just played pretty much 9-10. So played, yeah, halfback most of my life, yep. sort of growing up, and then had a few pretty bad finger injuries and surgeries and then sort of lost that. So then sort of moved out to fullback for most of it.
Okay, cool. Well, so sorry, you mentioned the break in your leg. How have you, I guess it's a good sort of time to ask this question, like how did you handle that as a, 16?
Yeah.
How did you handle that 16. As a 16-year-old?
Probably not great.
Okay.
To be fair. At the time, obviously, you learn a lot of things from that. And I think that's probably where I realized the mindset piece and kind of comes in. Very fortunate, had some like pretty good coaches and people around and stuff like that. Obviously, then you're still maturing and your head's probably in another space.
Why me kind of thing.
Yeah, 100%. So, but yeah, sort of from there and I guess, yeah, so I had pretty bad. I got quite a few screws and plates in my shin still now from there. So yeah, had about 12 months in a boot rehab, fair bit. So did it pretty good.
It's kind of you're still like in a key growth phase of your life. You're also, maybe that's why you didn't get taller. But
I'll quote you on that.
Yeah. But even like... even for other aspects of life, like, I guess, well, you sort of isolated from the community side of it, which we sort of spoke about, like, as a big part of your life as well. Like, you might have still been floating around the groups and different things, but you've, one, given up volleyball, then, two, got injured. So, you're missing out on, you know, that going to training 3 or 4 times a week, whatever it is, the games, even the partying after, like, celebrating a win or whatever. Like, that connection piece is still a big thing that tends to probably miss there.
100%. And I think at that age as well, is you kind of...
100%. You're trying to find your way. That's where you
get your skill set as well. Yeah. Like, mate, completely. And that was kind of coming into my last years of high school, which is supposed to be your prime. Mm. And yeah, I was pretty much at home for months on end and couldn't move.
So you were being like school at home or out of work?
Yeah, pretty much. I was for a few months there. I did nothing. It was probably, I'd wake up, go to bed, kind of didn't really know what was going on for a couple of months. But yeah, after that, 100%, it was kind of getting back into it. And I think, going to uni was, I'd had probably 6 to 12 months off, not too much social stuff.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a shift. And just like 100% going into that, losing a bit of drive, like, do I even want to do stuff?
Mm.
Like, or do I go the other route and that kind of thing? And that was probably a turning point for me was, do I try get back into it? It's hard. I haven't done it for so long. It's been part of my life that not only that, the social skills and stuff around it.
Yeah.
Or do you kind of have a crack and go the other way? Yeah. And fortunately I stuck to it.
Yeah. Cool. Talk me through, and like, this is just it's probably more unrelated to sport, but like, even when you go back to school, like, I'm sure a few of the kids sort of knew, there's probably like, there was before the age of social media, right? Like, that was big. So you're going back to school and you're not connected with all your mates and even like friends, whatever. You're going back to school and you're like, well, where you been? Like, is that, how did you navigate that? Or you don't really remember?
Probably don't remember like the full details, but 100% you kind of saw some mates and things like that. But I pretty much missed most of my last year of high school.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Far out.
Yeah, which is quite crazy kind of thing. And then went back towards the end, but in a boot and that kind of thing. But yeah, it was obviously that's supposed to be your peak year and stuff. Like 100%. Not just for sport, but for
life.
Your life. Yeah. 100%. Yeah, kind of going out, partying, doing everything like that. So yeah, that was probably haven't really thought about it until now, like reflecting on that. But yeah, it's probably a big
That's what we're here to do, mate. It's what we're here to do. So anyway, off the back of that, so got back into rugby. What teams are you playing for now? So how is this just your local side, or how did it work?
Pretty much then I was down to uni. So I went down to Otago Uni.
Yep.
So did a Bachelor of Sport and Exercise Science down there. Mm-hmm. So went down there, played for, it was like Dunedin Sharks, did that. And then down there for a couple of years, did that, played a bit of sevens. And then,
you would have killed sevens, wouldn't you?
Yeah, sevens was kind of my game. That's
too few for
a bit
him.
Smaller. It goes back, my growth stuff. Yeah. That was kind of the thing. And then, pretty much did an exchange to Canada.
Okay.
And then sort of went from there.
Yeah, okay. So you go to Canada. You signed to play for the uni team, or who are you playing for?
Yeah, so went over there originally and funny enough, they did like a class at university and I just had to go over and get points, really. I'd sort of ticked off the majors. And one of them was a rugby class. Absolutely absurd.
What a stitch up.
That's and then so cool. Literally turned up first day, no shoes, no shirt, like shorts. Me and a mate did an exchange over there. And then we were just kind of kicking the ball around. And then the lecturer's like, what are you guys doing kind of thing? Anyway, ended up pretty much that weekend we played for like his side. And then for the uni, like didn't train or anything and just turned up, played a game. And then, got offered a contract to pretty much go back and do that and play sevens. And
So it wasn't 15s for sevens?
So it was 15s. Both, yeah. So it was sort of part of the club and was going to go home and then I had to go home and get surgery on my hand just from an old injury and then pretty much went home and then flew back, did my rehab in Canada and,
Straight back into it. How many seasons did you play there?
Two full seasons,
Yeah, okay, cool. How much different to rugby in New Zealand?
So different.
Okay, in what way?
They're very, professional, okay. Like kind of thing, professional, like, athletes, freak athletes, but probably not natural rugby players. In the gym, wouldn't get close to anyone. Yeah. Like, fitness tests, they're all sort of blasting it.
But no one could tackle
But
you.
No skill. No reading the game. Very different. Like, you could tell that they're learning it.
Yeah.
Hit hard and everything like that. But, kind of no free-throwing play. Like, can't... A lot of, like, 9s, 10s, 15s are... imports.
Okay.
Because they kind of control the game and things like that.
Yeah. So did you find did you struggle with potentially with maybe like the teammates and the way they played because they didn't have like the awareness to say hit a hole a certain way how you would sort of read it more naturally?
It probably took a little bit. You just play them as like ball runners.
Yeah.
Really. And then it was kind of fun because I don't know, it wasn't as competitive, to be fair, as NZ or Oz that you play.
Yeah,
so you could have a bit of fun with it.
Cool.
But yeah, mate. And then that's where you kind of ended up there.
Happy day. So then that ends up, you play a couple of seasons there. Then where to?
So pretty much from there, stay there for a bit. Unreal experience. And then my old coach played for their coach, New South Wales Country. Didn't know much about it. Pretty much said, come play for me. So then... just decided to come there and pretty much move to Oz. I was going to do 1 year.
Where'd you move to?
Place called Cowra.
Yeah, okay.
Didn't know much about it.
Yeah.
Didn't know much about Oz, to be
Where's
fair.
Where's that near?
Not much. It's about 4 hours west of Sydney. So it's kind of like, it was about an hour or so, hour and a bit, quote me on it. From Bathurst, around Bathurst, Orange area, Central West.
Yeah.
Didn't know much about it. Flew into Sydney.
I should know that. I'm from Dubbo, but...
Yeah.
I was born in Dubbo.
Had a couple of nights in Sydney. I was like, this is unreal. Get used to this. And then hopped in the car and drove 4 hours away and that was it.
You enjoy the country life?
But it was good. Very different.
What were you doing for work out there?
Doing a little bit, not much. Like a bit of random stuff out there for the guys.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, not too much. Was pretty much just out there playing footy.
Playing footy, yeah, cool. So then from there, do you move to Eastern Suburbs?
Yeah.
Yep, so you moved to Eastern Suburbs, signed with East Rugby Club.
Yeah, so pretty much was out there, played half a season, played Central West stuff as well, and then made that, and then, yeah, probably wasn't for me the country.
Yeah.
So, yeah, moved to Sydney.
Quick question. Does that, was it more like the, like, driven motivation side of it? Like, in terms of, like, it's a slower lifestyle? I know you're pretty, like, up early every morning, like, training, like, all these sort of, yeah, like, motivational type things and, like, go-getter type lifestyle in the country is maybe a little bit slower?
Yeah, probably a little bit of that. Yeah, very different. Like, it was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's very much club footy. You kind of, like, go to the pub, have beers, do that kind of thing. Nothing wrong with that. But, yeah, I'm probably a bit more, yeah, no one was going to go for a run on the weekend or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
Outside of it. Yeah, and probably, yeah, quite big into mindfulness and things like that. Where yeah,
so I probably haven't worded that right. What I was trying to get at is there's probably two types of people that live in the eastern suburbs of Sydney. There's people like me who go to bed at 4 a.m. There's people like Sam who get up at 4 a.m. and train. So that's kind of what I was getting at with that. But, yeah, sorry, go on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly that point. 100%. Yeah, I should probably be flipping my time schedule a little bit. But yeah, no one was kind of on that wavelength
yeah.
in extent. Not that it's a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. But yeah, it's just kind of your the people you surround yourself with. And that's what I found 100% in the East. Like it's a very health conscious people. It's kind of very driven. People are motivated to kind of want more.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty healthy lifestyle. It's not the only way, but yeah, that kind of fits my sort of ethos that I'm kind of working on.
Yeah, cool. So obviously moved to the eastern suburbs of Sydney. How have you found, like, I guess surrounding yourself with people who are building those wellness habits, and then also, like, it also ties back with, I guess, your upbringing as well, but tying it back with the healthy communities that you surround yourself with. So how have you found that whilst embracing sort of the eastern suburbs?
Mate, it's good. Like, and they say you get stuck in the bubble. Like, it's pretty real. I was going to move here for a year, and I've been here for 10, 11
bang
now.
You're Aussie now. Aussie
yeah,
Sam.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Like, yeah, don't see myself ever leaving,
okay,
to be cool. Fair. Yeah, it's 100%. It's very welcoming. Like, exactly to your point, you go, I'm probably an early riser and things like that, but it's very active. You get out in the dark and people are moving, people are doing stuff. It's a pretty safe area. Like, people are always trying to push for more,
yeah,
which I think is a pretty positive thing, especially in like our age group. Everyone's kind of obviously don't have kids now, so can do these things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, looking to kind of not only sort of fitness, but it's a very sort of positive thing of people trying to build businesses or trying to sort of pursue their way, not just through sport and fitness, but other aspects, yeah, which I think is a pretty healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess like the other key part of it is like, oh, I can't just move to Bondi and, you know, go and chase this healthy lifestyle and community. There was then also the shift from, well, sorry, to start with, you were playing rugby, but then there's also the shift from probably chasing that rugby dream play for New Zealand to now a corporate career as well. So talk us through your time at East. I know you love the club still. You still hang around it a fair bit and a lot of your good mates still play there. Give us an idea on the club. Did they win the comp this year?
No.
Last year.
Still
last
touchy. Year. Yeah, last they year? Lost. No, lost this year. Lost the final. Oh. But won last year. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew they won at some stage.
Yeah, yeah. Mate, it's a great club. Like, it's kind of, and I think that goes back to that thing of that community piece.
Correct.
Moving here, sport's a great way to meet like-minded people. And I think East is great for that. And I think what they've done the last few years have really turned that around, I think, a bit as well. But yeah, it's kind of getting into that. I think it's pretty fortunate that sort of have that aspect of the life, but then it's kind of still pursuing other parts. And I think the connections I've sort of made through that have helped me sort of pursue outside of there as well.
Yeah, cool. So I guess leaning into that, like, how did you finish your rugby career? That was injuries as well, right?
Pretty much, yeah. I think, yeah, I've had what have I knocked up now? 8 surgeries, I think.
Fire.
Yeah, so definitely.
Does it get easier?
It does, and I completely. I think it's sort of built, and I think that's where my interest in it's come from, is like building resilience and like bad stuff is not bad stuff, but like hurdles come and you get over them and things like that. And I think that's what I've kind of leaned into, is looking at, yes, things are tough and things like that, but there are ways around it. And obviously, yeah, like I said, I've had, what, 8 surgeries, but it's still like, it's put me on a different path.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's sort of pretty grateful for that, what I'm doing. And yeah, the things that I've learned, and I'm still learning along the way on these things. But I think there's definitely tools and things that you can use from that to kind of, and that's what I'm sort of pushing into now.
Yeah, cool. So we'll get to the key pit you're referring to in a sec, but can you give us an idea into certain, a couple of different things that you're kind of implementing to overcome that adversity? And like, you know, I'm sure every time you got injured, it was like, not again, like I have to go through this, or like, you know, it's a certain amount of time. I'm going to have to, you know, put my head on the pillow, in the boot, on the couch or whatever. You know, what Netflix show am I going to watch now to sort of get me through it? What key things are you were you sort of implementing to, I guess, go through that adversity and come out the other side stronger?
Yeah, cool. And I think it's probably going back just to the basic thing of, why am I doing this?
Okay.
And I think sort of footy, like, why am I doing it? And I guess it's, yeah, that's drilled in from you from a pretty young age, and that's probably the values that my parents drilled into me, is sort of the reasons why and things like that. So I guess it's important to lean into those and to really understand that, not just from footy, but anything. And I think it's yeah, that's probably what got me through some of these. To be fair, being an Aussie, I've probably been more injured than I haven't. Take that how you want. Made of glass. But yeah, I think it's sort of going back, understanding why, setting sort of targets on what I'm working towards. I know when you're injured or out and stuff like that, it can seem like the end of the road. There's nowhere there. But I think it's sort of setting really small milestones and actually looking at things like, yeah, my hand, for example, you'd be out, can't do X, Y, and Z. But then I think that's probably where I picked up running and stuff like that, is trying to turn adversity into something else and sort of lean into that. Where some, and younger, when I was younger, like when I first did my leg, I probably didn't look at it that way. It was all negative.
No push-ups in the boot?
Mate, no. Yeah, just a couple of sit-ups. So that's about it. But yeah, you mature and sort of look at that side of it, which I think is probably, I've had to go through a few, which has taught me that sort of thing. And some people probably haven't had that adversity. But yeah, I think it's looking at sort of unpacking that piece.
Yeah, cool. So how many seasons did you play at East?
Technically probably 3 or 4, but how many games?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
No, fair. So I guess then off the back of that, so transitioning into, you know, that trying to play for new, trying to be an All Black, to essentially working in a corporate career. So you obviously completed uni and different things. Talk us through that. So how have, what sort of lessons through injuries and adversities and different things you sort of learned through sport, and do you find now implementing in your corporate career?
Yeah, cool. It's a big one's probably the work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of something that you use across the board.
Yep.
And whether that's, yeah, corporate career is very different. And you have to have certain values being in there. Am I going to be in there for the rest of my life? Not sure.
I guess got something else to blow up first.
Yeah,
A playbook to go global.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably one. I guess it's probably leaning into a lot of things as well. Like, I'm probably someone that gets pretty, if I get complacent, I get bored.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's trying to look at the next thing and always pursuing. And I think in a corporate world, a lot of people can kind of get stuck on that hamster wheel. And I did for the start of it, because I was kind of like, cool, this is what I'm supposed to do now. This is it. Like, let's get the corporate job. Let's go and just progress through. But I think it's kind of, yeah, looking at other opportunities and really pushing yourself. And that's what sport told you, like, you get injured, you have to sort of adapt and do different things, right? I think, yeah, that's sort of one big thing in the business world or corporate as such, is you're not stuck where you are, and it's kind of like looking at other opportunities, upskilling, doing whatever you can there, networking.
It's the same as life, right? Like, one other guest, I was talking about Brando earlier, but Brando said something on the podcast, and he said, the more you do, the more opportunities you get. And 100%. That's the same with anything, right? Like, you know, there's since I've started this, there's been multiple opportunities that have come up along the road, which has been pretty cool. And yeah, I said that's great advice for anyone that, like, it's, you know, think creatively, you know, think about where, I guess you can, yeah, implement your energy, and, you know, there might not be a, like, the value you get off the back of it. It mightn't be monetary, it mightn't be whatever, but there's, you know, the more you do, it just creates that ripple effect, right? There's going to be more opportunities that come up in different areas and whatever.
100%. So what you put out, you get back to an extent.
Exactly. All good. Yeah, so then obviously off the back of your corporate career, you also balance still being a high-performance athlete. So we spoke about you being the 4 a.m. Bondi person getting up, not the going to bed like me, but... every year since I've known you, essentially, you've done something pretty outrageous, to be honest. Something I wouldn't wish upon my worst enemy. But talk us through a couple of those. I think there was like a 100-kilometer ski. There's a few 100-kilometer runs, I think. But
yeah,
talk me through those.
And
when did this start? How did this start, actually? Yeah. How did you think about torturing yourself?
It's probably some better hobbies out there, isn't it?
Go play lawn bowls.
Yeah. probably when I sort of stopped playing footy. I guess it's, and you go back to that community aspect of like trying to push yourself and do something. Never, like a lot of things I've done only until recently, I haven't really ever put them out there advertised. I kind of tell one or two people to keep me accountable, and that's about it. I've done a couple over the years, but yeah, usually try to one or two a year. Recently, what have,
is that giving you a why, like a why to train? Do you need that? Like, can you just pointlessly go to the gym, or do you need something to train for?
I care, like I could, but I think it's the excitement. Bored, like I work? What's that?
You
sorry?
Get bored like that hamster wheel kind of thing?
Yeah, unless I'm training for like I need to push myself. Like, obviously fortunate, probably got a decent mindset that can sort of push the body. Sort of trying to be completely honest, find something that I can't do. And that's kind of the mindset of pushing to do that. Every year I'll see something and try up it more for just personal sort of use, like not for clout or anything to put out there. It's just kind of, it tests me. And then it's sort of like doing these hard things. Other stuff seems pretty easy to an extent.
Love it.
There's been a couple of hundreds, a few.
Yeah, can you give us some examples? So there was the first one, the boxing fight? Or was that prior?
No, that was one. Yeah, yep. So did a boxing fight. Probably not much of a boxer. 1-0, retired now.
Love it. Then there was what was after that?
What have we done? Done a few. Done a marathon and a 20-kilo vest. 100K run.
Not normal marathons too easy?
100K. I'd never actually done a marrow before that. But yeah, I think a few mates did that doing it, and just, I don't know, my mind.
Which marathon was it?
Sydney one. So actually it was pretty hilly.
What year was this?
Oh, would have been a few years ago now.
Okay.
So that was interesting. What else? 100K run, 100K ski. There's been a few other sort of random little things.
Yeah, cool. I want you to get a little more granular on this. What are you training for at the moment?
I'm doing an ultra in November.
Which is?
It's a 160K race, but it's sort of up Mount Kosciuszko. So I think it's over 5,000 meters elevation. Sort of training for that. There was actually one.
How do you train for that?
Get a pair of running shoes on. probably get up to over 100K a week, sort of pushing for that. But yeah, just a lot of, got a obviously a coach for this one. This is probably a bit bigger than sort of just winging it.
Yeah.
So getting a lot of Ks, a fair few in at the moment. So that's November, and I applied for a different run actually, but they wouldn't let me do it because I hadn't done one the size before.
Yeah, okay, so that's in Greece. What is it? Talk
yeah,
us through that.
So
this is the North Star kind of thing?
Yeah, so this is like I think you have to get under this in like 21 hours to qualify for that one. qualify. and I think that's nearly 250. I think it's like you follow the track of the Spartans, apparently. So,
what time wins that?
No idea. I haven't looked too much into it. I was just like, that looks,
you don't want to start yourself
looks unreal.
Out?
And then, we'll just sort of sign up for that. That's kind of, always trying to do something. To your point, though, it's sort of training for something, or else, unless I do that, it's kind of, outside of work, that's like my release. And that's like, for me, that's a bit of like time. That's my meditation, is running or training.
Yeah.
Without that, it's kind of feel like I'm pretty flat.
Yeah, cool. So I think there's a lot of like cool nuggets there. And like, it's funny how you tie it back with like, you try like the community side of it. That's the people that you're hanging out with, they're going for runs at 4 a.m. There's the like, you know, having a why and training for, you know, working towards a certain goal or goals and things. But there's a word you kept mentioning in there, which is mindset. And you've got a business called the Mindset Playbook. So I've got one here next to me. Mate, talk us through it. Talk us through what is the Mindset Playbook, and then we'll ask a few questions off the back of that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, mate, pretty much like during COVID, I've and sort of been pretty fortunate through sort of some high performance sort of teams, and I've had sort of access to some pretty smart people. And obviously, yeah, sort of drilled in the benefits of kind of, things outside of just training kind of thing. And that's what I always was. It was always like train hard, eat a lot kind of thing. And that was all footy. But yeah, now I've kind of understand through a lot of adversity is that the mind's just as important as the body kind of thing. And it's not sort of a big woo woo kind of thing. It's more just like, this is something you need to focus on to be doing these things.
That's not what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've always kind of journaled to an extent.
Yeah. Can you explain what journaling is? Because, mate, to be honest, I wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah, and it's like, I was always, over the years, like, looked at it like, oh, I don't need that or whatever it is. But literally all I ever did was write down a couple of things I'm grateful for. Like, in the morning, wake up, have a blank pen, I'd have a coffee, and that's like my 5 minutes. That's...
So did someone, did you see this on a book, a podcast, or did you start doing it?
Through sort of high performance coaches.
Okay.
Kind of, we used to do it in footy.
Practice gratitude.
Yeah. And sort of write down three things you're grateful for, and then completely different variations. People do like affirmations, but like never really did that. It was more three things I'm grateful for and three things that I'm going to do today. And it might just be something like text a mate and check in, or it might be like something practical that you're going to do. But I think setting intentions in the morning, and then like just a couple of things you're grateful for. Me doing that with a coffee was like 5 minutes. It's just, I don't know, it's just a thing. You can sit there. It's just you do it without. I always looked at journaling. It was this big like, kind of wishy-washy thing. But man, it's, yeah, I've been doing that since 20-odd-ish. And just real simple. And then kind of, it was only until COVID, obviously everyone was probably going through a few things in that period. And mates kind of hit me up like, what do you do in terms of writing? And then I just pretty much made them a week, very basic thing of just like a couple of prompts of what they should do, and then gave it to them. And then they kind of frothed on it. And then, yeah, just sort of thought, hey, there's probably something here.
How good's that? So did you find, and I don't know if it's like, did you find you needed to create that habit, or you just enjoyed doing it and actually saw the benefits straight away, or how?
Yeah, I think something, and a lot of people like think, I need to make long-term goals and stuff like that. And I think there's a stat, it's around like 80% of New Year's resolutions fail by February.
Yeah.
And it's like people try to do all these big ambitious things and try to do too much. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just small habits. Implementing small habits is like, and like we say, that's similar with injuries and stuff. It's like, if you have small goals that you can achieve over the long term, people try to do too much in... like aim for 10-year goals and they forget what they can actually achieve in smaller sort of periods. So
for sure. And how good, there's no better feeling than winning, right? So ticking off a goal is like winning a game of footy kind of thing.
100%. And that's the thing, you build momentum and stuff like that. So it's kind of setting smaller targets and building habits, like obviously to achieve there. And it's, I was always, in growing up, it was all it was, and probably similar, it was you'd set goals in sport,
mm-hmm.
and that was it. Like that was life pretty much. And you set a long goal, exactly your point is, for me, it was to become an All Black. But there was no like probably small stages along the way that you did them, but you didn't really think about it.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of actually setting small things and achieving it. And it's kind of outside of that, it's sort of professionally, what do you want to do? And it's kind of setting realistic goals along the way.
Yep.
Without doing that, it's pretty hard to achieve.
You're trying to steer your ship with no map, no Google Maps,
pretty much
no Apple Maps. Yeah, cool. So I guess, mate, for someone like me who's just sort of getting into journaling, learning a lot more about, you know, setting specific goals and different things, like I've obviously done them in the past and sort of set that long-term goal. And my way of, I guess, achieving certain things was like, I would just think about that long-term goal a lot. And that would be my like North Star. I guess my why, which is what you were talking about earlier. I don't actually have a great skill set in terms of like setting short-term goals and achieving them. I'm getting better, learning, but can you give me a little bit of insight into that?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I think 100%, like you say, I think it's great to have big goals and aspirations and things like that. But when you are setting these things, they look pretty far away. And it's like so many people drop off and things like that. It's kind of, they look too difficult to get there. This kind of longer time frame. So I think sort of it's great to set a macro goal, so like a big goal, and then break it down into a little sort of micro sort of, whether it's goals or habits and things like that.
Yeah, okay. And do they need to be specific, or do they need to be specific to your target, or are they, you know, stuff that may help you in other aspects that then overall help you get there, or how do you go about it?
Yeah, and I think it's there's a thing called habit stacking where you kind of you add a habit to an existing habit. So whether it's, for example, for me, it was always every morning I'd have a coffee. Mm-hmm. So I'd add journaling to the coffee, and then that would just sort of bring it in there. And I think it takes about 66 days to build a habit into your routine. So yeah, I think it's important to kind of set smaller things and sort of additional from there. But exactly your point is setting actually specific things that you can achieve, not just something general, like I want to be stronger. Like, what does that mean? Yeah. So it's kind of like in 2 months' time, I want to squat X. So it's sort of setting specific things that you can achieve, making sure they're realistic as well.
Yeah.
But then, so it's kind of, you get there, you get a win, then it's cool. What's the next one? And you're setting these stages that you can to achieve it. And over time, it breaks it down so much easier.
100%. So with off the back of that, like, I'm sure there'd be a million times in, or maybe not, maybe you just always achieve them. But so how do you deal with like, if you don't achieve a goal?
Yeah, cool.
Or like if you have how do you get back on the wagon if you have a big night on the drink and you hate yourself the next day and you're like, I've just, all this hard work's gone out the window. How do you get back on the wagon?
Yeah, and I think it's, I think that's that balance between motivation and discipline.
Okay.
When you want to achieve something and there's a why, you're going to be more disciplined to it than motivation comes and goes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you actually have a reason you want to do it, then you can have a pretty, and obviously some people might think they do and then they'll drop off. Yes. But being realistic, if you can kind of say, yeah, you have a couple of nights on the bend or you do something, if you really want to achieve it, having a smaller goal seems more achievable than having something big, audacious.
Great
you
advice.
Have a couple of nights off and then it's sort of, you lose sight of it. And that's why people drop off.
Yep.
So I think 100%, it's still setting them small enough that you might go off track and nothing's linear. Like I have times when I'm still learning along the way. Obviously got some, yeah, fortunate tools and things that can use along the way, but 100%, it's setting them smaller that they feel like they're achievable, getting like someone to
would you describe them as achievable, or would you describe them as like not easy is not the right word, but essentially you just got to go do the task. It's not something that you can really fail. Maybe like, for example, if like for someone like yourself, if today's thing was a 10K run, I know for yourself, a 10K run is basically nothing. It's like walking outside. That's like I'm just using that as an example,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Something that's achievable like that, that it's not really, you're not going to fail a 10K run. You going and, you know, doing an easier task, or is it, how do you approach that, do you think?
Yeah, and I think it's a balance.
Okay.
Like I think...
So you still got to test yourself.
Yeah.
But in terms of like, I guess hitting those goals and those daily targets or whatever, it's about that balance of finding what is just essentially making you go do the task, which is your why, but having something that's simple enough that you've essentially just got to go do it.
Yeah, 100%. I think it kind of depends on what you're trying to achieve. So yeah. Exactly,
it's like journaling, right? If I was to get up in the morning and be like, one of my goals is to journal every day, and I'm not going to fail it. I've just got to do the task kind of thing. I used a bad example with the 10K run, but yeah.
100%. And I think it's sort of, and that's the thing is setting, and that's what a small goal be, but then your long-term goal might be, I want to finish X book and do that, where for the week, it's like, I want to do it for 1 week and pair that with something. And just setting realistic things like, yes, it's really simple, but it's kind of, that has long-term effect that you can roll it into other things.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So I think that's huge, mate.
Yeah, sweet. I love it. So, mate, with the mindset playbook, what's the long-term goals with that, and how are we breaking that down? How's taught me through how you're implementing what's going on in the mindset playbook to the business?
Yeah, cool. Yeah, mate, pretty much started as a journal. Yep. And I guess it goes into goal setting. What am I trying to do? Yep. And that's what I'm kind of working through at the moment. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's like anyone trying to turn that side hustle into something. Yep. Sort of long term, but yeah, kind of working through it, looking at doing a bit of a V2 version 2 for the playbook, getting some feedback, just sort of done a rebrand on it. Professionally, I'm a sort of marketer brand, so yeah, that's kind of my bread and butter as such.
Yeah.
Which is good. So yeah, sort of working through that, and then yeah, looking to sort of develop, I guess, sort of programs and resources to sort of roll it out to kind of universities, corporate, to kind of roll it in there, and then yeah, hopefully sort of move into an app aspect of it.
Love it. Cool. So, but you're very much a pen and paper top guy, right? Not necessarily app.
Yeah, that's where is the gray area.
Well, what I think with that though, that's Gen Z, right? Like
100%.
Everyone, and that's how you tap into the next generation.
100%. And I think it's more accessible as well.
Yep.
But I think it's just finding that balance between. One of the benefits that I see of journaling is I don't have my phone with me for 5 minutes. Nothing's beeping. Generally put my watch, don't have my watch on or have it on airplane mode. I think we get distracted so easily.
Yeah.
Now that, yeah, literally journaling for me is more than anything, just 5 minutes of nothing, which I think is important for everyone. And I think if journaling's not for someone, I think even just having a walk, not listening to it, earphones or anything, like it's pretty hard for me to think of a time in my day where I'm not talking to someone or listening to music or a podcast and stuff. Just 5-10 minutes of you, like, it's amazing where your mind goes.
Yeah, cool. So I guess with the mindset playbook, do you have some real like examples or success stories that like some feedback people are giving you off the back of it? Like, is there, I'm sure there would have been a few, but do you have any examples of that?
100%. Yeah. And I think it's, things that I didn't probably think. People kind of setting different things. So it's built around sort of 4 pillars of health and wellness. So kind of mindset, movement, nutrition, and sleep.
Awesome. So can you explain those?
Yeah. So
give us an example of each sort of pillar.
Yeah. So I think it's important. And as I kind of go back to my youth, a lot of it was movement was probably all I focused on,
mm-hmm.
where it was kind of get stronger, get better. That's how I'm going to be coming All Black. Looking back now, that probably wasn't the right mindset. And there's a lot more professions and interest in it for teams now, which I think's awesome.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, sort of movement's pretty self-explanatory. It could be setting goals or things around, could be walk 5,000 steps a day to running gym, whatever it is, achieving X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
Then sort of nutrition, it's just kind of making people stick to patterns. It doesn't mean you have to
be on a diet or whatever.
Yeah, but it's more just, I'm going to cook at home 5 nights a week. Or something like that, to kind of trying to build healthier habits.
Is that what
habits.
I'm doing wrong?
Yeah, I need to delete a couple of those myself. Still learning.
Yeah, life learner.
Yeah, 100%. And then mindset, exactly that thing. It doesn't have to be you meditate every day, which like people look at and go, that's not really for me. Yeah. It is just like said before, is 5 minutes of you time. It could just be going for a walk. It could just be, mine's reading. I'm not a big reader. Partner Sarah reads a book when I read like a chapter. She's a quick
I can't
reader.
Read yet, so
yeah,
I'm still learning.
Most of it's pictures.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
It might just be that, like read 5-10 pages a day, and then sleep. That's probably the one that I'm still struggling at. Okay. I'm still learning to do, seeing the benefits. Obviously, yeah, wake up pretty early.
I'm guessing go to bed pretty early.
Yeah.
How do you find that habit, or is it just you gassed after being up so early?
Bit of both. Yeah.
Were you always an early sleeper?
I probably was. Yeah.
Okay.
Growing up, I reckon I was. Apart from when you're like trying to push the bed limit when you're quite little, but it probably was. And it's probably got more now. Moving into the corporate world, you've only got a limited time.
Mm-hmm.
Like you get to the office at 8-ish and you're there till 5-6. So yeah, for me it's the morning, so I have to get up reasonably early to do that. But realizing now that sleep's probably more important than
the actual training
itself, which has taken me 30 odd years to figure out. But yeah, mate, that's probably, so it's kind of encapsulating all of those things in one. to an extent that making sure you, and you don't have to always focus on them all, but to be your best version of yourself. And this is just from my learning and obviously speaking to some pretty smart people about it, is obviously making sure you factor all those things in to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, sweet. Love that. There's plenty of great little nuggets in that. Back to the other question with like success stories. So you sort of mentioned that, you know, a few that were a bit unexpected.
Yeah, 100%. And they're probably around similar thing around sort of people and shout out Whoop, but like people getting a Whoop and like, yeah, focusing on that and just seeing little things that they would never have thought of, but their sleep, increasing sleep patterns, which has just had a roll-on effect to everything, where it's a lot of stuff. And I've tried...
back to winning, right?
100%. Yeah. Yeah. And I tried, when I was creating this, I tried every journal under the sun, and not many focus on, very like heavily on targeted to females and sort of affirmations and quite sort of all very, very powerful and benefit stuff. But for me, that didn't work.
Yeah.
So it's kind of looking at the holistic health thing. And I think it's just habit stacking. That's probably the biggest thing of people building just new habits. And nothing doesn't have to be crazy. Like, you don't have to be achieving these big runs or doing these things. It's literally just like, I don't know, maybe it's reading. Like, people, probably one of the most interesting one is someone said they text someone every day, text someone new every day. And it's like just keeping that connection where it's like, shit, we forget all these things. And like, yeah, those are probably the biggest ones of people just like building these things in that kind of seem real basic, but we just don't do.
I really love that. Like, it's even, yeah, it just goes back to, I guess, what I said earlier in terms of like the more you do, the more opportunities you get. It goes to everything. Like, as you said, just sending one text message, you might end up going for a coffee with someone who, you know, whatever, they might be going through something, or you might, they might have an opportunity or whatever 100%. It is. Just the more the more things you do, the there's so many tangible and nuance to it, but like there's so much advantages to different things that you can get done.
100%.
I've got it. So obviously that's the Mindset Playbook. Please go check them out on all social, because that's what it is. Mindset Playbook.
Yeah,
cool. So Mindset Playbook on all social platforms. He has some really cool coffee chats with, some great people too. So please go check that out. That's enough probably more of the serious stuff. How does Sam Norris unwind? Because all we've spoke about is how disciplined and, the habit stacking that you do. You must drive yourself mad just being that disciplined. There's got to be something you do to...
Yeah. Yeah, mate, 100%. And it like...
Or you just like doing another marathon. Put a vest on. Yeah, put a heavier vest on next time.
Yeah, partner. No, 100%. And like, mate, like I'll always like footy. Like, you can't go wrong with going to watch footy and having a beer with mates and stuff like that. Like, growing up and similar to you, it's kind of... That's probably the biggest thing is like connecting with people on that.
Yeah.
That's huge.
So you're still very much in touch with East Rugby Club though?
Not as much as like,
okay.
And that goes back to things I'm working on. And like,
there you go. There's your thing for tomorrow.
Mate, I'm going to
call someone at the club.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the boys.
Go down. But yeah, 100%. I think that's it, is like you get so caught up in different things. And like at the moment, my life has just been in building the business, and training, like running. That's literally like run in the morning, work on this at night, and then work my 9 to 5 during the day, where it's, yeah, looking at things outside of that. And I'm still learning, working through it. But probably footy. What else? Might have started making coffee. I'm really loving that.
Nice.
Pretty good coffee machine. So that's kind of a new hobby of mine. These sound pretty boring, don't they?
No, I want to come get a coffee. Maybe not at 4 a.m. I'm on my way home from the Coogee Pavot. I'll swing by.
Yeah. I'm making espresso martini on the way
up. What else?
What else? Mate, probably just like pretty like growing up on the coast, so pretty much get in the ocean, the beach, like summer. That's probably a big aspect of living in Bronte. Just getting down there as much as we can. I'm trying to think what else I do.
Yeah, cool. That's all good. And once again, so I've got this is still completely lighthearted, but I've got three just rapid fire questions sort of to finish up. If 16-year-old Sam walked through the door right now, maybe just before he broke his leg, what would you tell him?
What would I say? Probably don't listen to what other people say. to an extent. Don't take on everything. Like, if you want to do something, do it. Don't sort of lean in. There's probably some things I wish I'd done earlier in my life, but
such
didn't
as?
from feedback and stuff like that.
Okay.
Probably sort of footy. I probably would have gone overseas at earlier opportunities and stuff like that. Probably would have started a business earlier and a few things, but probably didn't because of sort of feedback or the nervous thing of what people might think. I'd say that's probably the biggest one is just, and now, like, whatever I want to do, I'll do. But, like, probably should have done these things 10 years ago.
Yeah, sick. I love that. That's sort of same with me. Favorite cheat meal? Do you even eat anything bad? You don't look like you do.
Favorite cheat meal? Mate, I'd probably have to go back to my roots. Meat pie, a good New Zealand meat pie. You can't beat that.
How good?
Yeah.
I heard the best pies are in New Zealand. I don't know if I had one when I was there. But. And then last question. This is kind of, you get some pretty interesting answers here. I know you're not much of a golfer, but your dream golf foursome. So it's you and three others. Can be anyone dead or alive. So yeah,
they don't have to be a golfer?
No. Yeah, you have just someone you want to spend 4 hours with, basically. Can be lunch. Say three people you want to take to lunch.
Yeah, okay.
And I'll be the waiter.
So
you can't pick me.
That threw that out. Yeah. That's a spatter in the works. That's a great question. I'd say The Rock. I think he'd be hilarious.
Hilarious, or is it more the mindset side of it?
Probably that. Probably just like he's done so much.
Yeah.
Like kind of thing.
Have you seen him now?
Yeah, he's really
stripped back,
skinny, isn't he?
Yeah, 20 kilos.
He's making me feel good about myself. Yeah. Yeah, probably him. Tom Brady.
Love it.
I reckon.
He's just a wild mindset, hey?
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure he'd have some pretty good stories.
Imagine.
Mate, that's a great question. And then the last one. Barack Obama.
Wow. So three Americans, no All Blacks.
I think.
Oh, you met them all.
Yeah, it's quite easy to get. Those people I probably wouldn't have access to. Yeah.
Okay. Why Barack Obama?
I don't know. It obviously have some things that no one would know, but I just think what he's done, like how he obviously don't know him that well, he's to an extent, but like, yeah, mate, I reckon he'd be able to tell you some things. Yeah.
Big into American politics, are we?
Absolutely nothing about it. But I reckon that, what is it? The book that he has behind the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. I reckon he'd be unreal.
Yeah. Awesome. Mate, once again, thank you very much for this. I'm super grateful you coming by. I'm hoping everyone got as much out of this as I did because I learned a lot and mate, I really appreciate you. Thank you.
Legend. Thanks, bro.